This is the Dr. Chris Lib Podcast. Welcome to a special series called Bone Saws, Bring It Back. The class name for the University of Alberta Medical Class of 2013 is the Bone Saws, and we will have a 10-year class reunion in November 2023. As many people are planning to attend, I'm recording short interviews to help us all catch up. This episode's featured guest is Dr. David Poon. In the 10 years since graduating with the Bone Saws, he became a professional stand-up comedian, a medical consultant for TV shows and movies, a politician, and most recently, a fiancé. He also, like many millennials, works two jobs. During the day, he is the medical health officer of Northern Medical Services, working a hybrid job to meet the public health needs of Northern Saskatchewan. At night, he sees patients as a physician psychotherapist at a Toronto addictions clinic. He completed an MPH from Columbia University, which is the same school as his hero went to, Spider-Man, and is currently doing a master's in mindfulness-based cognitive therapy at Oxford. Welcome to another episode of Bone Saws, Bring It Back. And today we have Dr. David Poon. How's it going, David?
Hey, it's been a long time. We haven't talked ever since you told me not to speak to you over the past 10 years.
Well, I guess you're right. And so now here's my chance to ask, well, what have you been up to in the last 10 years? Because I clearly didn't ask or check in.
Well, now that you've finally written and, you know, actually spoken to me, I can tell you that I've missed you profusely over the past 10 years. To anyone listening, I want to thank you so much. I entered your class as a person who was quite scared, who wasn't quite in the right place. And you are so welcoming. I'm so grateful to the class of 2013 for allowing me that space for me to grow, to get through medical school, and to allow me to finish what I started long before I ever knew you guys. So it means a great deal to me. And thank you for allowing me to be part of your 2013 10-year anniversary celebrations. You know, I never started as a bone saw, but to end as one is a privilege. And I'm so grateful to all of you for that. Since finishing in med school, I went to Toronto for public health and preventive medicine, and I did my family medicine years at the Toronto Western Hospital. I really found that I liked psychotherapy, so that'll come up later on. Through that, I got my MPH, my Master of Public Health at Columbia University. That's the same school that Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man went to, and I wrote that in my application letter. Like, it was vital to me. Because Columbia is where that famous scene, you know, I'm something of a scientist myself, right? And why else would you choose a school other than to be amongst your heroes? As it turns out, Columbia is not in South America. It was in New York, and it was a wonderful experience. They have great pizza, wonderful sandwiches, and other great things. I then completed the rest of my PHPM training at the University of Toronto. My goal is to work at the intersection of mental health and public health. I believe that the next public health crisis will not be a communicable disease, but it'll be a mental health one. So as I speak to you on this podcast, I'm currently at Oxford in England doing a second master's in mindfulness-based cognitive therapy. So what that is, are using meditation principles to prevent depressive relapse. I see that as a resilience training. And because I don't have formal training in the mental health space, for me to integrate public health and mental health, I felt that this extra piece of paper will be helpful. In addition, over the past 10 years, I was a professional stand-up comedian for a short while. So if there's ever an opportunity to do stand-up comedy in the medical sphere for any of your conferences, happy to do that. I started a political advocacy organization during the pandemic to safely reunite families that were separated due to COVID-19 related travel restrictions. We were able to change federal immigration policy, got to speak at Parliament. I still get invited to Parliament once in a while to talk about border issues. I got engaged a few months ago, which was really nice. And I did a lot of growing. I currently have about 14 lightsabers, and I'm hoping to still grow the collection.
Well, I think a lot of good priorities that you have put in front of yourself.
14 lightsabers are good priorities. Gosh, the deadpan.
Did I include lightsabers along with the other health priorities? I certainly did. So I hope you are feeling heard, David.
The term is being seen. Thank you very much.
Right. Okay. So clearly underskilled in the care space here. But anyways, just as the next question, from your vantage point and your specialty, what would you say is the state of medicine/healthcare?
So I wear two hats. My day job is I'm the medical health officer of Northern Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan is a province in the middle of Canada. Northern Saskatchewan has a population of 85% First Nations people of Canada, the Indigenous population. And that's a blend of both federal and provincial funding and healthcare streams. Of course, they were hit really hard during the pandemic. And there were a number of challenges with having Indigenous-specific healthcare priorities being brought up, and that's been longstanding. But the pandemic really showed that there's a gap. My night job is I do psychotherapy. I work at an addictions clinic. I work with those struggling with substance abuse, addictions, alcoholism, childhood experiences, PTSD, CPTSD, and mood disorders. And so the reason I bring up those two points is working both as a frontline clinician with my psychotherapy and as a medical officer of health, I see the system and how it struggles. And I also see the struggles that a clinician has. And so if the state of medicine or healthcare has a concern, it's actually the fact that medicine isn't the same as healthcare. The healthcare system apparatus works differently than just straight medicine. So we can create maybe the best approach to handle something, but without the right resources or the right political partners, it's difficult to actually execute it in a way that is effective. So once again, going back to Northern Saskatchewan, you have groups where often it's federal jurisdiction, and then you have areas that are provincial jurisdiction. To the patient, it doesn't matter. They need help. But the minute you're running into that level of bureaucracy, that's an issue with the system. The medicine can be fine. Now, because I'm not an internist, I'm not heavy on research, I can't tell you whether or not medicine itself is sufficient. But as far as I can tell, I'm glad that we're in a country that has cutting-edge technology. But if it's not accessible to the people, that becomes an issue. And that's what I'm hoping we can work collaboratively with our political partners to have a better delivery, particularly for disadvantaged groups.
Well, I appreciate the breadth of what you answered there. And so I'm curious, as the next question here, what excites you the most in your area of medicine?
From the public health standpoint, I am so grateful that after the pandemic, people know what an MOH is or an MHO, or at least that there's some semblance of a reference point. Yeah, you know that guy who closed your favorite restaurant? Yeah, that was an MOH. Oh yeah, you thought the mask mandates were too long? Yeah, that was us. So at least there's a reference point that such a person exists. Now, as facetious as those examples are, at the very least, you know where someone might exist within the system. Now, with every province, they have a different role, a different set of strengths and different set of weaknesses, and unfortunately, different levels of authority. But the basic idea that there's someone helping coordinate a public health response is really important. So what excites me is that the public now is more aware of public health than they ever were during my lifetime and possibly two lifetimes before that, you know, post-Spanish flu. And that gives us a unique opportunity to reestablish that relationship with community building or having open houses or even just media. And that provides us a way to better manage our communities. In terms of the family medicine life or psychotherapy life, I mean, psychotherapy is something that people are really finding valuable and people can talk about. I can't speak to how effective Bell Let's Talk is, but ever since its inception, I can certainly say that people are making fun of how it's advertised, but they aren't making fun of mental health issues. And the fact that it's entered our lexicon as a very reasonable thing is something that I'm grateful that we now have as physicians to work on. We have Billing Code Ontario that allow us to do that work. It's covered by OHIP. And I think it's going to help a lot of people.
Great. So shifting gears here, David, as you mentioned, you were able to finish med school with us. And so what is your favorite memory of medical school?
With the bone saws, the day I walked in with you was, I think, September or October of 2011. And I was so scared. I had a lot of troubles through medical school. I wasn't in the right place emotionally, mentally. And you guys have known each other for so long, right? By that point, you guys were 2 years together. You did all your fun stuff. Vaughn, you know, he met me. We had a good chit chat just sitting in the back of whatever our lecture name hall was. I met a bunch of you that day. Vaughn and I took a picture together. I felt so welcome. And I had a number of bad days after that. Medical training was really hard for me, but I really, really appreciated just how warm everyone was to me. I couldn't tell whether or not I was your friend or your clown, but what I can say is I never felt rejected. I never felt pushed away. And whenever I needed help, so many of you were there. So that would be my favorite memory.
Well, I'm so glad that you were received with warmth from our class, and that's a lasting memory to now. Just moving to our last question, David, what would you tell your younger med school version of yourself?
Primarily, he would have to know not to trust Chris Lee, because he'll say, you know, don't worry, Dave, after graduation, you and I are going to be best friends. And then he's not going to talk to you. He's not going to talk to you until he's big shot podcaster using his equipment to exploit you. But beyond that, I wish earlier David knew if he needed a reason to stick within medicine, he would eventually find it. I acknowledge that a number of people who fought gauntlet to get into medicine have literally found the reason that drives them by that point. But I didn't truly understand where I'd find myself on the political, medical, and psychosocial intersections as a career path. This type of thing would have really helped me get through some of the harder days. I also think I would have been kinder to myself and allowed myself to hang out with you guys, integrate myself more with you. You know, I could have lived and breathed as a bone saw a little bit better. I didn't hang out with you guys as much as I should have. And if I did, maybe there would have been an opportunity where I don't get ignored by Chris Lee for 10 years. And maybe I could have earned that place amongst your pantheon of heroes. But we have the next 10 years to figure that one out.
Well, David, I always appreciate the candor you bring and the humor. So I just see that you want to have space for yourself and to be part of all of us and just be wherever you are. And unsurprisingly, you've been able to continue that in the work that you do. So thank you so much for being part of this. And I actually will go on the record to not promise to keep in touch so that I won't have to be held to hang over my head. I'm just trying to address the mistakes I made in the past. So thank you, I guess, for being part of this. And maybe, but with no promises, we can keep in touch down the road.
Let it be known that Chris, if not ethical, is at least straightforward with his distaste for me.